Sailing the World. On this show, you will learn how to recognize the patterns used by the psychopaths that are controlling our world, who have created the living hell we find ourselves in here on planet Earth. Where doctors create disease and destroy life and administer biological weapons, nicknamed vaccines, which are corrupting our very genetic structure. Where police and the judicial system attack the criminals and persecute the innocent. Where governments have become terrorists against the people they purport to serve and commit treason every day by allowing the destruction of our air, water, food, and planet. We must press the natural solutions to all these problems already available, who are stealing and torturing our children under the guise of child protection, and as you're going to hear about today, who rape and murder children under the guise of the Catholic Church. The ability to see the big picture is a critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to bring these predators down. The critical first step for everyone with a conscience is to do your own research, as we have been lied to about everything. The study of language is very revealing. The word lie was in the middle of the word belief. And when a psychopath are able to leave the slave work, you have to believe a lie, it becomes their truth. I strongly recommend that you challenge all of your own beliefs until you know the truth. This is not easy, as I discovered when I did face the fact that the medical profession I had so proudly joined was totally corrupted to the opposite of a Hippocratic oath taken to the first to know harm. And to the board ops, I'm getting unbelievable feedback in my ears. I hope it's not happening on the air. I suggest that all of you go to my website, reversingvaccineinducediseases.com, or my other website, drcarly.com. And print out the diagrams that you will find and listen to the YouTube videos posted there where I explain the diagrams, the first of which is the big picture, which explains the cause of all disease. And, of course, my reward for figuring out the cause of all disease, not to mention how to reverse all the disease, has been ongoing persecution and torture by the medical mafia. This is how it works, folks, and it's only going to change if you stand up and do something. Because negotiation and compromise with evil is impossible. If you think my work is important, please tell others about this show. You can support this work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult from them. For them from me. To learn how I do consults, click on the services tab of my reversingvaccineinducediseases.com site. You can contact me by emailing me at arcarly@gmail.com or call me at 828-294-0662 between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. I also have a toll-free number, 888-321-7551, which you can contact me social media in the U.S. Canada. If you can bring the message to this number and disconnect it or whatever, have the operator dial for you. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I use it primarily for my international clients and radio shows. I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I just provide what you require you to reverse the natural therapies in people and in pets. Archives of my shows for the past few years on various networks can be found at the lightofdayradioshow.com. Click on Dr. Carly Archives, and the archives for today's show will certainly be up by tomorrow. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 0208-144-3781 or write to the sponsor of the PCT-call. All working. Very important, callers need to keep their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. And I'm not sure that our people will just stay on the total. Let's do so. What are the most important things you can do to protect yourself and your loved ones from the organisms being created by the mad scientists at the over 1,300 biowarfare labs in the U.S. alone? Please purchase a silver lined colloidal silver generator. Go to the link section of reversingvaccineinducedisease.com to learn how to obtain the silver generator I recommend and use personally for myself and all my pets. And yes, you can order this generator from any place in the world. If you have bought into the disinfo regarding the dangers of colloidal silver, be sure to listen to the archive of my show with the Silver Lungs founder, Mario Cataldi, from yesterday, May 5th, 2012, which has already been posted on the lightofdayradioshow.com under Dr. Carly's archive. Today's show is going to be What's Ailing America, genocide committed by the Catholic Church. So the next question is Catherine Annette, who has taken amazing steps to bring these terrorists to justice. And the Catholic Church has been working in league with the Queen, the quote-unquote royal family. Let me just mention his websites. He's got four of them. Catherine Annette, and then Annette is ANNETT.com. ICCS. Organization.org, hiddennolonger.com, which includes a documentary film Unrepent, and hiddenfromhistory.org. And I'm very excited to announce breaking global news. Friday, May 4th, 2012, and let me just read from a communique from ICCS. International, which stands for International Tribunal for the Crimes of Church and State, that the Roman Catholic Church faces permanent disruption and banishment in at least 5 countries if it does not comply with 10 non-negotiable measures by September 15, 2012, according to a global coalition of survivors of church rape and torture. The list of measures was issued today at a meeting in Dublin, Ireland, between Archbishop Dermot Martin and a representative of the anti-Catholic activists worldwide, Magdalene Laundry survivors and the International Tribunal in the Crimes of the Church in Ireland. The measures demanded of the Catholic Church include the defrocking of all child deity priests, the licensing of all other clergy as public servants, the return of the remains of all who died under church care, and we're talking thousands and thousands of children. The annulment of tax exemptions and other church privileges, and the return of all the church wealth generated by the exploitation of children. And before I bring my question to Kevin and that on, I want to play you an audio tape of an amazing YouTube that he has put up, which actually explains all of this in a very specific way. So hopefully this will come out okay. Here we go. Yourself in the music. Yes, you know. And I would now bring on many men that I consider real men, Stephen Annette, who has done so many amazing things, including commencing a day in Canada to bring up the body of the children who have been murdered in the residential schools in Canada under the auspices of the very corrupt and evil Catholic Church. So thank you so much, Kevin, for joining us.
Thank you, Dr. Carly.
So take it away. Please inform us, if you could, first of all, what's going on with the pig, and then let's get into the demand that you've made of Catholic Church and the Queen is involved as well. I can't imagine how they must be having a similar case of diarrhea at the moment.
Well, you know, what happened yesterday in Dublin is really a kind of a culmination of many years' work, and what's manifesting now really all over North America is the fact that these graves are finally being identified, the graves of the children who died in many of these institutions. And we've already started in three areas in Canada to begin reclamation of these remains. We've done the analysis of some of the remains in Ontario and found there's definitely children buried in these grave sites. So I think it symbolizes what's really happening in the world, that literally the graves are opening up, the truth is not buried anymore, and there has to be an accountability now. And what we realize is the accountability won't happen through the court system as it's presently structured, because the Crown of England in Canada, the Vatican, and through many countries, exert a lot of control, even over the judicial process. So we need a more direct means of finding justice, and that's part of what is being talked about in this 10-point statement.
Exactly. And actually, they're all Luciferians, all part of this very occult and a satanic religion. In fact, it's very obvious that the Catholic Church is not Christian. Otherwise, how could they have come up with this most disgusting Crimson Salatanus? I mean, isn't it amazing how you found that little document where the Church is actually mandating that pedophilia and other crimes against humanity be covered up? So when the Pope came out and pretended that he was going to do something about this emerging problem that has come out over the last few years, he did not cancel out that policy, as far as I remember.
That's right, and people have to realize that this is a policy coming right from Rome. It's a first official Catholic Church policy that when a child is raped or harmed in any parish anywhere in the world, the priest and the bishop are under papal order to cover that up, to make the victim sign a statement that it never happened and to never tell the police. So this is an enormous obstruction of justice, and that's one of the reasons that lawyers are attempting to serve papers on the Pope personally for signing letters ordering that to happen. There's an example right in the United States right now. There's, for the first time in American legal history, there's two American bishops that are facing trial for protecting child-raping priests. A bishop in Philadelphia and one in Kansas City, both of them claim that they were ordered to do it by a cardinal who's now dead. He actually died the day after a judge in Philadelphia ruled that he could stand trial. New York cardinal called Anthony Bevilacqua. He's dead now, suddenly, but he ordered these two bishops to do this, to go out of their way to protect priests who would rape children. So for the first time, you know, even right in the States, the hierarchy of the Catholic Church has been put on trial. And that's one of the reasons that Cardinal Sean Brady in Ireland is about to step down, because it is now reaching the highest levels of the hierarchy, because they themselves are involved in a policy to help hide this enormous crime against children.
Exactly, and this individual in Ireland who's stepping down, what did the cardinal in Ireland, Archbishop Dermot Martin, who was meeting the victims, have to say? Have you gotten any feedback as to what went on in that meeting, or were you allowed to part of it?
Yes, I was talked to by all of the people who took part in the meeting. They're preparing a report, which we're going to post up on our ipccs.org website this week, so people can read it there. But from what the participants said, this Archbishop Martin had very little emotional response, very little humanity. He was acting like the Vatican's bureaucrat and basically describing how the Church couldn't respond, and, you know, the usual line of the Church that it's working with the police and it has nothing more to offer or disclose. But that's happening in a context in Ireland where the Sean Brady, who's the cardinal, so this is the top Catholic, he's the head of the Catholic Church in Ireland. And as far back as 35 years ago, including when he was a bishop in America, this Sean Brady was consistently giving protection to priests within his parishes who would rape children. So he has a long history, and he's criminally liable. He's one of the guys who elected the Pope, so, you know, it's kind of like watching the last days of Richard Nixon. You can see the web of complicity extending higher and higher into the institution, and eventually the Pope himself is going to have to stand trial, or you even talk about the Pope stepping down sometime this year. So, you know, it's really an enormous kind of ripple effect you're seeing that's building more and more.
It's a beautiful thing, and it's just so uplifting to realize that these webs of lies and deceit, the individuals, the psychopaths of the world, which, you know, are in religious organizations and government and certainly the royal family, are finally being exposed. And very interesting that you have mentioned that whole diplomat immunity thing. How can they claim that they're going to do something about the rape, torture, and murder of children when, on the other hand, it was the Pope, I think, who actually brought up this whole immunity thing in Italy when they were, you know, basically put into the spotlight in regards to
right. Well, the thing is that the church is claiming that it's diplomatically immune from prosecution, that as a head of state, the Pope doesn't have to answer to any legal system in the world. First of all, that's not even true under international law, that a head of state can be put on trial for crimes against humanity. They've tried it with Slobodan Milosevic in Serbia. They tried it with Ariel Sharon in Israel. And so that's not even true. But secondly, the Vatican is not a state under international law. It is just given kind of a temporary status as that at the United Nations because of a deal the Vatican made in the 1960s with the Secretary General at the UN. It was never ratified by a vote at the UN. So, you know, it's a big fiction that the Vatican has the rights of a state. So first of all, that's all a big lie. The problem, though, is that governments go along with that lie and they grant it protection under the law. For example, in America and Canada, it is an offense to disrupt a church service, a Christian church service. But disruption can mean anything from just standing up and challenging the priest to holding a picket sign. And as a publicly funded institution that doesn't pay taxes, churches should be open to the public. Any citizen has a right to walk in there and say whatever they want because they fund the church. Yet they're acting like a private secret organization with public funds. And that's why we say the tax exemption should be abolished, and this whole fiction about it being protected under the law needs to be abolished. Otherwise, that these priests and bishops can't be prosecuted for raping and harming children.
And if the law allows the protection of crimes such as these, then the laws need to be abolished. And this is what is becoming self-evident. I had researched the International Criminal Court some time ago, and one of the first things they did once they became incorporated, or whatever the term is, was they established their rules for immunity. And it's like this all over the United States, I'm sure in most countries as well, that judges are immune even if corrupt malicious are incompetent. So basically they made themselves immune for crimes against humanity on the local or global level, and then immunity extends to all their fellow Freemasons and Luciferians to allow them to be immune. While the regular Joes, the citizens, are prosecuted for the most ridiculous thing. We had a case here in the States where three people were charged with a felony for crossing state lines to sell bottles for a larger, return fee than they would have gotten in their own state. I mean, this is how ridiculous it has become. Yeah. So I'm so glad for what you're doing. And have you gotten any responses at all from the church at any level in regard to, well, I guess it's a little early to get a response from what you just put out maybe forward. But what about taking these bodies? What has been the response of either the Canadian government or the church?
Well, there's been no official response at all, and the media in Canada have completely blacked out all of our evidence and our activity. 2 years ago, I released to the Canadian media a list of 28 identified mass grave sites near former Indian boarding schools where children were buried, where surveys and eyewitnesses have described even burying children. The police refused to investigate outright. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police, of course, because they were involved in abducting these children and imprisoning them themselves. But the media, not one single media reported that, and even when we began opening the graves at the Mohawk Institute in Brantford, Ontario last October, the media didn't report it. If you can imagine this, the opening of mass graves near Indian boarding schools, going on right when the government is talking about, you know, finding out the true history, truth and reconciliation, all this rhetoric coming out, yet they don't report when the first grave is being opened. I mean, that shows out and out attempt to conceal the story. And so the fact that they're not reporting it, I think, in a way is a good sign because they know the enormity of the crime that they're sitting on. And as more people come out, the more evidence is being produced, people are going to realize that, you know, that the existing system is a stacked deck. We need another way of prosecuting these people. Some of the Native people are setting up their own traditional courts in which to try these people. And also they're taking direct action. There's several parishes, Catholic parishes in Western Canada where Native people have gone in and literally thrown the Catholic priest out of his church and evicted the church from their territory and said, you can't operate here anymore. That's the kind of thing that I think people are going to have to do. And that's, in fact, in Ireland yesterday when they met with the Archbishop Martin. They threatened similar things. They said, we're going to start occupying these churches unless you identify where these thousands of children are buried all over Ireland who died in the Magdalen Laundry sweatshops, who died in Catholic orphanages, you know, beaten or raped to death. Those children have to be brought home for proper burial. And so that's a demand you're hearing all over the world, and people are going to, and are taking direct action and not relying on the, you know, the corrupt courts or government system.
Or corrupt media. As a matter of fact, I work with a group in the UK, One Voice for the Children, which is also a global conglomeration of groups that are trying to stop the global pedophilia and trafficking of children and kidnapping of children by what they call child protective services, but are actually child predator services. And speaking with Sam Edwards, who runs this organization, 2 weeks ago, and he told me that he was actually in contact with someone from a mainstream media organization who told him that he was afraid they would lose their license if they covered the topic. Now, isn't that amazing that they would lose their license for speaking the truth? How does that work?
Not only that, it's not only media. The media have been told outright they cannot report any of the stuff about present-day child trafficking. A lot of the work I do now in Canada is about child trafficking, actually. We're linked with groups in England, the Holy Greed campaign, and groups in America who are involved in the same thing. But we even had the Attorney General for Ontario, now this is the top lawmaker in Canada, in Ontario, say that if he looked into this matter, he'd lose his seat in Parliament. So, you know, the top lawmaker is saying, I can't investigate this. So that, you know, clearly implicates that the government is involved in this child trafficking, and very powerful actors are involved as we speak in trafficking children through social services and a whole web of police and judicial involvement in this child trafficking today.
Exactly. And we are paying for the quote-unquote services of the quote-unquote public service. And that is why it is so important for people to realize it is going to take to the people. And I hope that every Catholic who's listening to this show is going to do something. Because if you don't, you are aiding and abetting these monsters.
That's right. And Catholic parents have to realize that under the present policy in the Vatican, their child is not safe in any Catholic church, because if anything happens to them or any other child, the priest is obligated to cover it up and not tell the police and protect the rapist, or he'll be defrocked. He'll be excommunicated from the church if he doesn't protect the child rapist. So, I mean, imagine that any honest priest has to choose between doing the right thing by a child and staying in the church. And to expect that out of the clergy is itself a criminal act. And so people have to realize they cannot take their kids into that Catholic church if they're concerned about their safety. I mean, it's that simple.
And it extends to all areas of our life, as I'm sure you know. The medical doctors, such as myself, who stand up and tell the truth about bioweapons nicknamed vaccines, are excommunicated from the priesthood of medicine. Just like you said, the Attorney General of Canada admitted he was not allowed to even get into this. So this is how bad it has become. And that is why now is the time for people not going to really knowing it's like putting your hand, your children in the hands of predators.
The needle on the record when the drum beats go like
the only way that a human being can get a bird flu or a swine flu is if it is injected in them.
So how did we get swine flu then?
It's been made in a factory and injected.
The needle is defective, and the needle breaks the record when the needle is effective. Prevention of the fever, bringing death to the receiver. There's no effort in believing that the method feeds the fever. See the leader, diseases are invented in the lab. One believes it, I'm reading recent mentions of the jab. Centered in the grand stab of corruption and lies, and shaping views of doom from newsroom into the public eye. But now the floor has risen on the cause of autism. Doctors show research and scores of flaws in them. It's mercury and vaccines, often there's more given, peace ignored and...
He actually was a pastor of a church in Canada and started to delve into these issues and was actually thrown out of his own church because he was doing so. And just like I was thrown out of medicine because I exposed the atrocities of vaccines. And that's what people have to realize. The reason that we live in a hell on earth is because the psychopaths are controlling everything. And there's more people of conscience, but they need to get a backbone. And they need to say no to these predators, because if they don't, it's never going to end.
Well, that's right. And one of the things that I remember, we often go out to these churches and hold vigils on Sunday, try to talk to the churchgoers and tell them not to put money in the collection plate, not to attend the church while these crimes are carrying on. And a lot of the police will show up to stand in front of the church, and we talk to these cops. We show them the evidence, and we say you are involved in protecting those not only responsible for these killings over the years, but who are preying on children today. And so what you're doing is you're violating your oath of office to protect the public, and these cops really don't have an answer. They either look away embarrassed. One police sergeant even told me once that if we got a legal eviction order, he'd have to enforce it and ask the church to leave. So, I mean, I think a lot of these policemen on the ground are sympathetic, but they realize what they're serving, and they need some alternative. And this is what I think people are, like the Oath Keepers in America and people like that, are beginning to say, our job is to serve our people and not a predatory, murderous system.
Well, I have no sympathy or compassion for people like this police officer, because when they realize that they are working for monsters, I say all the time, when their children get tucked in at night and ask them, well, what did you do today, mommy or daddy? What did you say? Well, we protected pedophile of murderous priests from the people who are trying to get justice. You know, it's just mind-boggling. And they are part of the problem, and they are selling their souls for cash. And that's what they have to be confronted with. And it's, of course, the police, the military, all of these agencies that have been actually created to protect the high-level psychopaths. In fact, that has to stop because they don't know that they're being victimized as well. Even if their children aren't in Catholic schools, they're being vaccinated and damaged by vaccines. They're being sprayed with chemtrails. I mean, the list is endless. You cannot negotiate or compromise with evil, period.
Absolutely, and we have no one to blame but ourselves if we do that. So that's what we say to them all the time. We say, this is a time of choice. And you've got one chance here, to, and once you continue to serve these people, then you're definitely, you know, on their side. And, you know, but I do see changes happening. Like, as a matter of fact, I did have, there's a number of people who provide us information right in the government system themselves. They don't come out and allow themselves to be identified. But we have sources in the government and the churches who are continually giving us this inside information about what's going on. And I was even last year given some documents from somebody who worked in the Vatican Library, which pointed us in the direction of this policy, crimen solicitanus, that you mentioned. And it's got a long history, and in fact, he was alluding that in the Vatican archives, there's evidence of all of these crimes carefully documented over the centuries. So, you know, that's kind of our next step, to actually get in there and directly aim our work at the Vatican. We've been there a few times, and there's more support for some big actions at the Vatican in the fall and the spring of 2013.
Well, won't that be a moment if you can occupy the Vatican Library? I mean, I can't even imagine how many thousands of documents they must have documenting their crimes against humanity, because this is what the monsters do. And in the medical realm, I have many of those documents also. They recently published the results of their experimentation on people. And in regard to that, I want to just mention, I don't have it in front of me, but one of the insane things that this Luciferian rat singer has done, I mean, all you have to do is look at his guy. I mean, look at his eye. He just, you know, he's evil. And he actually has not only come out and said that it's okay to inject children with vaccines made out of aborted fetuses, but he has also proclaimed that he's against the formation of chimeras, which happen when you combine animal and human DNA. He's against this transhumanism, but if it happens, he wants the chimeras to have human rights. So I guess that means they have the right to be raped and tortured and killed in sacrificial rituals and stuff. But this is how evil this is. And that is why I'll say again that anybody who's a Catholic needs to really ask themselves, what are they paying for when they put that money in the plate? As a matter of fact, it was quite amazing when this really started to come out big time. I remember that Ratzinger tried to start a defense fund. So money getting in the plate isn't enough. He wanted people to donate for their own children to be denied justice by getting some high-level, you know, dream team together to basically prevent their prosecution.
Well, people should realize that American taxpayers fund the Vatican directly. There's things called concordats, which are treaties between the Vatican and over 100 governments around the world, including the U.S. and Canada and Great Britain. And these concordats channel taxpayers' money directly to the Vatican Bank. In last year alone in Spain, they gave 260 million euros. You know, about a third of $1 billion went directly from Spanish taxpayers to the Vatican Bank coffers. So these are illegal agreements. I don't think a majority of Americans would agree to having fund the Vatican Bank. When the Vatican invests in the arms industry, the Vatican owns major shares in Novartis and some of the biggest pharmaceutical giants that are forcing these vaccines and killing people. The Vatican Bank is very involved in murderous corporations all over the world, and that's where the money goes, directly from American taxpayers. So Ask your senator and congressman to give you information on the financial concordat between the U.S. government and the Vatican. See if they answer.
Exactly. And this is so important for people to realize that we are funding our own destruction, and that has to stop. And I just want to say, I got a message from one of our board ops. If you're in the U.S. and you want to call in and ask Pastor Annette a question, the call-in number for the U.S. is 1-716-205-1708. International, you can get through by calling 0-208-144-3781, or you can Skype in TCT, that stands for These Changing Times, TCT-calls, plural, and ask Pastor Annette a question. And I'm just curious, have you, on a one-to-one level, spoken to any priests in regards to all of these different issues where they've at least been willing to go off the record and state their, problem with what they're learning themselves? Because, see, in my opinion, it's the same with the priest as it is with any doctor who realizes that medicine is creating all disease. If you keep doing it, then you're aiding and abetting. Have any of them admitted to you as alleged men of the cloth why they keep doing it?
I've never met, the simple answer is, I've never met a more spiritually, morally dead group of people than the clergy. The only ministers who have ever come to me, priests or clergy, who come with information are those who have either been forced out already or are in the process of leaving the church. Nobody with a secure pension with their job has ever come and tried to help. There's no examples over 20 years of this work of the ministers coming to me in that way. So they are completely implicated and tied mentally and spiritually into this crime, and I really don't appeal to them anymore. I've given up on expecting that. But there are people around the church who aren't tied into the kind of professional cast there who do provide a lot of information, and in fact, I often get invited to speak in congregations by people in the pews, but then the priest or the bishop will step in and stop it from happening. So that's kind of been my experience about that.
And that's when the people that invited you should stand up and say, excuse me, priest, protector of evil, not only are we paying for this church with our donations, but with the taxpayer money as well, so I suggest you step aside and let this man speak about what we've invited him to speak about. So I also blame the parishioners who don't have the audacity to stand up to these people. I mean, how is this control going on in the first place? They know what's going on. That's why they invited you in the first place. And when you're not allowed to speak, why aren't they doing something?
Well, you know, unfortunately, religions, at least, you know, from my experience, tend to breed a very, very strong herd mentality. People aren't encouraged to think for themselves. They've learned traditionally to look to the clergy to interpret the Bible for them, to interpret God or whatever you want to, however you want to put it. They don't have the ability, they don't think they have the right to act on their own and challenge the church hierarchy. That's true with the vast majority of church members. There are exceptions. You know, I mean, for example, I was invited a few months ago to Duluth, Minnesota to speak to a group of, they're called Peace Churches. They used to be Methodist churches and they left. They're kind of independent congregations now, so they're not tied in. But, you know, at the same time when I was speaking there, they got nervous when I began to talk about Methodist missionaries and how they used to go out on killing sprees and go into Indian villages in the western states and help wipe out women and children. And they can't look at their own history. It's very difficult for them, like it would be for a lot of people. But the excuse of that people give aren't valid anymore because the information has been out there for years now. I've broken the ice on this. It's not risking a lot to look at this stuff, and yet still people don't do it. So, you know, I'm really having serious questions about people's, moral capacity. I think it was Martin Luther King who said that the churches in America are morally dead and have no future. I think he was right.
Well, and of course, it's not just the history of the churches. It's history, period, that has to be looked at. I mean, there's no question that United States is an evil empire. Our government is occupied by Zionists who follow the Talmud, which people people don't know about the Talmud, you need to read some of the things that are in the Talmud promoting pedophilia and all kinds of things of that nature. All of us have been lied to about everything. That's the way I look at it. You know, it's not our fault for what happened in the past unless we're refusing to learn the truth. That's how we're going to change things, is by finding out how we've been lied to about everything. Politics, religion, medicine, it's all involved. And that is why we live in this hell on earth. The psychopaths who are creating this intolerable situation that we find ourselves in are protecting themselves with their immunity and their agency and their pleas and all the rest of it. And that's what we have to stand up against, because we're paying for it.
Exactly.
And what's going on in the Queen's realm? I was very surprised to find out that when that dead body was found on her estate, which I suspect was probably one of their human hunting expeditions, we did hear about that in the mainstream media, but of course nothing ever followed up. We don't know who that, I think it was a woman, we don't know who she was or how she allegedly died. But I know that you're including the Queen in all of this, and if you could get into a little bit of that and how she is complicit with the Vatican.
Well, yeah, Elizabeth Windsor is directly implicated. She's one of the people we name in our indictment, the Pope and the Queen, are the two main fiduciary officers in running these Indian boarding schools, but also a lot of the crimes today. When we say the Crown of England, we don't just mean her personally. We're talking about the City of London banking cartel, which is actually what the Crown of England is. This banking cartel is directly controlled from the Vatican, and in fact, as far back as the year 1213, the Crown of England would have made the legal vassal of Rome. And it is not surprising that when these Indian boarding schools were set up, both the Vatican and the Church of England were involved from the very beginning in setting up a lot of these horrible crimes that went on, including a lot of the medical experimentation and that. We found records about that, authorized by the Archbishop in London, acting in the name of the Queen. And so the tie goes directly to Buckingham Palace. And a more personal example of that is in 1964, in October, Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip actually abducted 10 children from the Catholic Indian Residential School in Kamloops, British Columbia. It was witnessed by several people. These 10 children vanished and were never seen again. The one living eyewitness to that, just before he would come to London to give testimony, died in a hospital suddenly in Vancouver, William Coombs. And, you know, that's up on our websites, you know, all the evidence about that. So, I mean, you know, when we say that the crimes are continuing, yeah, these people in power really don't have any compunction at all, any doubt that they can get away with these crimes. And, when we put that out to people and say, here's the hard evidence that she personally is involved in at least abducting children, that's something we know for sure. There's never a response. People say, well, you're not allowed to challenge the a head of state like that. And we said, well, then what was the Nuremberg all about? You know?
And who says you're not allowed to challenge them? They do. They create their laws which state that very fact. And those laws, you can't have a criminal state that you're not allowed to challenge the criminal. I mean, that goes in the face of this whole idea of justice. It's ridiculous.
Well, you can if the criminal is in power, and the only reason Nuremberg happened is because the Germans lost the war. It comes down to the fact that you've got to take away the political power of these people and their economic power if you're going to get justice. That's why we talk about in the Ten Demands that were announced at the beginning of the show. Those demands are aimed at the political and economic power of the Vatican, because you've got to undermine these institutions from the bottom up, and this is the way people have to do it. So, yeah, ultimately it's a political and a spiritual question. It isn't, we don't have the illusion that these institutions are going to reform themselves or do justice.
Yeah, they're certainly not going to investigate themselves. And in regards to the date of September 15th, I'm just curious why you chose that date. I'm sure you realize that the likelihood of them actually doing what you ask is about the chance of an ice cube in an elf. And how are you going to proceed after they refuse to even address your complaint?
Well, of course they're not going to respond, and that deadline is something that we do under common law. We give people the right to respond. We do it openly and honestly and in the light of the full public. When they don't respond on September 15th, then that will be the green light for direct civil disobedience, disrupting church and church offices, actually expropriating church property like Native people plan to take over church buildings and not give them back. That kind of direct action. September 15th was chosen because it's the first anniversary of the actual inauguration of the hearings of the International Tribunal of Crimes of Church and State, which occurred in London and in Brussels. So those will be continuing, and in fact, compared to a year ago, we have a lot more support now. We have European television and several lawyers working with us to set up these de jure common law courts in which we intend to arrest and try these priests and high church officials who are involved in covering these things up. And that includes the Pope. You know, Joseph Ratzinger hopefully will be tried in these common law courts.
Exactly. And then in terms of how they will actually be arrested and thrown in, I can't even imagine what kind of sentence they deserve. What I always talk about is a giant prison made of glass in some desert. Where they can fry under the sun and let people walk by them 24/7 and ask hard questions, but that's just my visual. But yes, I'm sure that as we continue to get the word out about what you're doing, I know that you're on many shows at this point. People all over the world are paying attention to what you're doing. Other organizations, as I said, like One Voice for the Kids, exposing the Colin Gregg case in the UK, which is very, very important. Anybody that doesn't know about that case, you need to do a search on Holly, H-O-L-L-I-E, Gregg, G-R-I-E-G. This is one of the most important cases because this young woman with Down syndrome has been abused since she was a child in many ways, tortured by people in high levels of government, including judges. And in fact, when this man, Robert Greene, went public on a campaign to expose this, they actually arrested him for coming forward with this information. I'm sure you know about that.
Yeah, I've met Robert and Holly and her mother several times in England when I've spoken over there. Amazing people. They're just ordinary people who won't give up. They keep fighting. And a lot of, you know, I spoke at a meeting with them in Northampton, England, and in the hall were literally about 500 people, all of them parents whose children had suffered in the same way, who had been raped within the family services, you know, the government system, who were trying, unfortunately, they were trying to work through the system to get justice and meeting no, having no success, being blocked and threatened all the time. But Robert Greene was not only put in prison for doing this, but he was barred from even running. He was going to run for parliament. He was going to run in the local election. And they barred him from even putting his name forward, you know, to run for public office. So that's the seriousness with which that particular campaign is exposing governmental involvement in child trafficking and child rape. So it's one tip of a huge iceberg.
Yes. And if we watch C-SPAN, seeing our public servants in the District of Criminals posturing in Congress and pretending that they're, you know, passing various laws which mean nothing. And the same thing occurs in Parliament. We actually have Parliament broadcasting C-SPAN in the early morning hours. They all know what's going on, and they all continue to posture and pretend that they're serving the people, when in actuality, the crimes against humanity that are occurring, they're doing nothing about it and aiding and abetting the cover-up, and even in many cases participating themselves, obviously.
I'm silent because I'm agreeing with you.
Okay. All right, apparently we don't have any callers that are having any questions. I'm sure they're just listening with bated breath. Did you have anything else you wanted to bring up?
Well, one of the things I do want to share with people, as I often do, is this campaign is ongoing, and it involves all of us. It's really about the survival of our children and our lives and our planet, because we find that when you make a public thing of any kind, you get a response. Even if it's a denial, even if it's an attempt to cover it up, you keep the pot stirring, and that's what I often say to people. Like, to give you an example, there's a woman in Albany, New York, who all on her own is walking into these churches with her information, talking to the parishioners, and since she started doing that, the local Catholic Church, their attendance has fallen off. Because if people vote with their feet, they may not get up and confront the church directly, but in the privacy of their own conscience, they say, I guess I can't support these people anymore. That's what's going to cause the change, those many different acts of conscience on the part of people on the ground. So I really urge people to get our information, start handing it out to local churches, especially Catholic churches. You can download it at hiddennolonger.com. That's our film and all my research. You can write to me, kevin_annett@hotmail.com. I'm coming back to New York during the summer and the fall. I'll be going all through the eastern U.S. and Canada on speaking tour and organizing tours. So please contact me. And, this is because of the fact that bishops are now on trial in America. That shows something. It shows there is a response. And I'm confident in the long run, we're going to find, through this campaign, a way of taking back our own lives, taking back your government, if you like, from the elite personally running it, take back your courts, take back your churches. So that's I'm hopeful about all this because of what I've seen all over the world.
Oh, yes. There's no question that truth will win out in the end. But the longer people continue to do nothing, it's just going to delay removing the psychopaths that are ruining our world from power. And I'm glad to hear that people are voting with their feet. I would prefer, obviously, that they would stand up and speak out because, of course, silence is consent. But voting with your feet is not silent. And wouldn't it be wonderful if all of these churches, even though they're tax exempt, if they don't get money in the plate from the robots who are supporting pure evil, then they're not going to be able to pay their electric bill because apparently the Vatican is spending a lot of money paying off some of these claims that have been made about all of their pedophile priests. So if nothing else, you can shut them down by lack of participation in their financial gain.
Well, you know, that we could also approach the workers who service these churches, say to the electricians and the mail delivery people, stop servicing these churches, these church offices. Don't deliver mail. Don't provide them electricity. Cut them off at the source. You know, we have the right to do that because these people who service them have children, too. Their lives are at stake. So that's what we have to appeal to the mass of people in this. And this is the strength I've had in the beginning is that I've done that. For 20 years now, I don't have funding from anywhere except from people on the ground. And that's the way that these truths have come out, by people who have gone through the crimes coming up and speaking, and a lot of them have done that. So that's what I keep doing, and any of us can do that. And I just urge people to do that. Take the action themselves and not wait for somebody to do it.
Yeah, let's not leave the plumbers out. Wouldn't it be wonderful if all their toilets backed up and the churches emanated a stench that is basically indicative of what they're actually involved in.
Right.
So, yeah, I'm so proud to know you, and I will continue to have you on whenever you wish to come on and share the updates of what you're doing. Any information that you send to me, I will share with listeners to keep them updated with what you're doing. Because as far as I'm concerned, you are on the cutting edge. We need to go after all of these evil organizations, especially Child Predator Services and all of those organizations involved in trafficking children. But you've been doing this a long time, and you have advantage in the fact that you already have a very huge global following. And I want all people who know what's going on to be involved in this, because silence is consent. And this is the year, because as the boots come down, I'm sure you're aware of our president passing the National Defense Authorization Bill. They're trying to prevent people from speaking out. If any politician is protected by Secret Service, allegedly, they're not allowed to be any protesters in the area. I'm waiting for something like that to come out with the church. But see, that's an indication of their fear, because they know that we're reaching a turning point, that a consciousness is going to reach a hundred monkey phenomena, or whatever you want to call it, where the people are going to see that we're being destroyed on every level. And if you don't do anything, you're aiding and abetting the enemy.
Well, that's right. And ultimately, what I've realized more and more is it's what we build today. It's ignoring and really reclaiming the power that's been taken from us, personal power and collective power. And I think it's ultimately a question of ignoring these old murderous institutions and starting again. And it's really what we build that matters now. I've seen limited effect when you protest and confront these institutions. They're not going to change. If anything, they're going to get worse. So it's really a question of what do we do today and tomorrow for our children? And that's what I keep saying to people.
Exactly. And as you're an associate of Alex Hunter from Canada, who I'm
yeah.
very closely associated with as well. And one of the better things he came up with is we had the Occupy movements, because even that movement is being controlled. You know, they're only talking about the financial aspect of what's going on. They're not getting into any of these crimes against humanity. And
oh, I know.
He tried many times at these gatherings to start bringing some of this stuff up, and they basically push him off the stage.
That's true, and as a matter of fact, I had the same experience when I was in New York a few months ago. We went to Occupy Wall Street, and there was a big mass meeting ahead, and I said to them, I'd like to make an announcement about a rally we're doing about child trafficking and child abuse. And the guy looked at me like I was a Martian, and he said, oh, that's not our issue. You know, I mean, how can it not be your issue to be concerned about the future of your children? I mean, it was mind-boggling, and I found that 3 or 4 times in different Occupy groups. They just refused to go there. So I have to wonder, you know, ultimately, where are they getting their backing and the money from?
And there's lots of evidence of that. It's another controlled opposition group. You know, it gives people an opportunity to believe that they're doing something to keep out and let the police chase them and spray them with pepper spray and arrest them and beat them and put them in jail, and that's how they continue their contributing. But, you know, it's very bad. It's the reality of what's going on.
But thank you, Dr. Carley. I appreciate, again, the exposure, and I'll certainly keep you updated, especially about issues related to the health of children, the history of experimentation on kids and that. We've got more and more evidence all the time about that. Maybe next time I talk to you, I'll share some of the recent stuff I've learned about that.
Okay, and one thing I will ask you, if you're out and about, especially speaking to the Native peoples, because I know, I don't believe I know that one of their goals is to eradicate the Native populations, not just the Native Americans, but the Aboriginal people in Australia, the Natives in Africa, who have the ancient wisdom, who know how to live off the land and have that knowledge. I have a client in Canada who's a Native American, and she actually told me that that she goes to, and all the members of her church, for ear infection that they developed just for the Native Americans. And that tells me it's a special vaccine to clot up infertility at the very least. And they have to be aware to protect their children from the vaccinator's needle at all costs.
Well, that's right, and we've even found there's a protocol in Canadian hospitals that Native people, when they're in a life-and-death situation, there's a protocol that if there's no family member present, the Native person is not to be revived. There's a no-revival policy when Native people are in a medical crisis situation. Also, it's been documented that there's lots of sterilizing agents found in vaccines in Inuit and Aboriginal communities all over Canada and the U.S. Something like a third of all Native women in America on Western reservations were sterilized in the 1970s and 80s through these public vaccine programs. I mean, that's all in the book. So, yeah, you're exactly right, and it's not, of course, limited to Native people.
Right. Well, thank you so much for everything you're doing. I look forward to your next update. And as I said, just let me know anytime you'd like to come on the show and give an update and keep up the good work. I'm just so proud to know you and know what you're doing.
Thanks, Dr. Carley. And just to finally remind, our website is ipccs.org is the tribunal website to follow our updates. Thanks again.
Okay, you're very welcome. And certainly by September 15th, we'll see what these monsters come up with. Okay.
Thank you.
You're very welcome. I would just like to ask the board ops if maybe we could have a little music interlude so I could take a little break, and we'll be right back. Okay, folks, it's Dr. Carley again. I hope that you will tell everybody you know to listen to the archive of this show, which will be on www.thelightofdayradioshow.com under Dr. Carley Archive by tomorrow at the latest, when you just look under the date of the show. And tell everybody you know, because we have many people with many ways that they're handling the psychopathic control of our planet. And I don't claim to have all the answers, but I do know that anybody who's doing anything needs to get supported, because this is not acceptable, and especially in regards to the crimes against humanity that are going on. And this is the year, people. I just saw a YouTube video a couple of days ago some New Age type minion who's telling people, you know, we've all heard about December 21st, 2012, you know, it's going to be the end of the world. That's what some of the church people are believing, the Mayan calendar and all that. This particular group is claiming that we're going to shift into the fifth dimension and that, you know, there's going to be no duality in that fifth dimension. Well, I have a problem with that, because the duality is a good versus evil. And what's going to happen to the evil people? Are they going to be left in the third dimension and just continue to rape, torture, steal, kill, all the rest of it? Still going to all be on the same planet, so I don't know how that works out. So you just have to realize there's many different forms out there, and use your own discernment in order to figure out what the truth is. As I always tell people, don't believe me, check things out for yourself. And in order to get your discernment working properly, you have to get rid of the toxins in your body. That's very important. And, of course, that's what I teach people how to do. If your brain is not working, you are not going to be able to think. And so you have to get rid of the vaccines, the heavy metals, the pesticides, the fluoride, all the rest of it, in order to be able to use a critical thinking to evaluate anything that you hear. And as far as how lie vision goes, telling lies to your vision, I strongly encourage you to just accept the fact that you're being lied to about everything. And look for the lies so that you can turn it around 180 degrees and find the truth. Okay, so I'm just going to go through a few things. I accumulate stuff nonstop to talk about on shows, because I do lots of different shows, things that you need to know about. And one of the things I thought was pretty hilarious is there's a painting called The Scream by an individual by the name of Edvard Munch. It sold for nearly $120 million recently. And when I saw that picture, The Scream, what came to my mind is this is the fate of the victims of psychopaths. So, of course, we can be sure that whoever paid $120 million for that painting is somebody who loves to watch paint. On C-SPAN's Washington Journal on May 5th, 2012, which just happened to be yesterday, in Golden Mile, another cult colleague, one of the guests was talking about the misery index, and I thought this was pretty hilarious. And this is something that was created in the 70s and 80s, and what it includes is the unemployment rate plus the inflation rate. So the unemployment rate now, allegedly, is 8.1%. that they're not the global version of the system, of course, the international monetary system. So the Indian C-SPAN was letting us know that the ministry and our south is 10.5, which is only half as much as it was in 1980. And back in 1980, they had an inflation rate of 10%. So this person claims that the ministry index is only one half as much as it was in 1980. And this is supposed to make us feel better. Because once we know that we only have half as much misery as we did in 1980, well, then we can get back on the couch and watch the game and drink the beers and just ignore what's going on around us. However, I suggest that what should be added to the misery index is the percentage of good families that have had their children kidnapped by child protection services, the percentage of the population that has been killed or made disabled by the medical mafia, which they always come up with their quote-unquote natural causes when they put out the death certificates. What percentage of the population has experienced corruption in the courts? Well, that would be anybody that's gone to court, at least if they're the good guy, because the way the courts work is that the good guy always loses to the bad guy. And that's how it works, and that's why I've developed the appellate court, the appeals court, the Supreme Court, the federal court, and I experienced this myself. Spending 7 years in seven courts trying to rescue my only son from his ongoing satanic ritual abuse, which has been going on for a decade now. And that's how I realized that the reason they have the courts is because they know that when a good guy loses in a lower court, they're going to go to a higher court, believing that they're going to find justice. Well, guess what? It never happened. So then you go to the next court, and the next court. And once you get it to the Supreme Court, which I did, you write something called a writ of certiorari, which is a application to these minions in black robes, who are all Luciferians, basically, to hear your case. Of course, they only take an extremely small percentage of cases to hear in the first place. But once you present your certiorari to them and they say, sorry, not interesting, then you're out of luck. Then won't go to jail. That's when you say, oh, okay, I know how this works, and there's nothing I can do under the legal system. And that's what Evan was talking about. We can't do anything through the court. Because the courts are the protection arm of the system. And the other thing I would add to the misery index is the percentage of population that is awakened to realize treason taking place to bring us into the New World Order. So that's a very large group of people, and getting larger every day thanks to shows such as this and many other shows on this network. And when you put all that together, I would say the mystery rate is probably about 70-80%. And that's only because some of the people just don't get it, don't want to get it, got their heads in the sand, are taking psych drugs, have had a chemical lobotomy, whatever the case may be. Because people say that ignorance is bliss, which I'm sure was written by the Illuminati, seems to be doing very well out there in zombies. Okay. The next thing I want to mention is a very important article that I received just yesterday. It's an article published on naturalnews.com, which is a very important site. Paul Brinker, Mike Adams, has put out a very huge amount of important information on various topics, and especially vaccinations. And there was an article yesterday entitled Chief Executive of Gavi, which stands for Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunizations, Chief Executive of Gavi wants to immunize every kid on Earth. and this, whatever it says. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, BAC Group, Global Alliance for Vaccine and Immunization, is on a mission to forcibly vaccinate every single child on the planet against every single known, quote-unquote, preventable disease. And the CEO, Seth Berkley, believes he can actually make this happen with enough cash, political force, and distribution system in place. Closest veil in the experimentum, God's vaccination agenda has been spreading across the globe like a virus. And hundreds of millions of children around the world have already been vaccinated, and many more are on the way. But the group's vaccination push will not stop until every child in the world is vaccinated, even if it means having to use force. That is what happened, after all, in Malawi, M-A-L-A-W-I, back in 2011, where Malawian children were vaccinated at gunpoint. Reports at the time indicated parents of unvaccinated children that had tried to escape a local vaccination mandate were tracked down and apprehended, and the children forced to leave the gap and the part of the United Nations Millennium Development Goals. And if this doesn't scare you, I don't know what will, because this is a testing problem. They're waiting to see what will be the global reaction. Is it okay for parents that decided not to vaccinate their children to not vaccinate their children and have that free choice? No, not in Malawi, where they're cracked down and threatened at gunpoint. In other words, you have the very own choice. You can let us shoot you all in the head, or shoot your children in the arm and leg. Those are your options. Both choices will lead to death and destruction. But that is the only choices you have. And this is what's going on. Bill Gates is behind it. Let me continue with this article from National.com. None of this would have been possible, however, had Gavi been allowed to crumble back in 2010 when it was suffering severe financial problems. But former Microsoft CEO Bill Gates came in and saved the day. According to Reuters, by working together with Gavi and the British government to coerce much-needed funding to the tune of $4.3 billion, that's what it would be, $4.3 billion out of bills. And this is partly a surprise, since Bill Gates himself has been on a personal mission to vaccinate the entire world as well. At a 2011 Gavi conference, Gates explained to attendees how the vaccine equity, which he later defined as vaccinating everybody on Earth. And this is what we call opposite, people. Vaccination equity. How about the ability to say no? That would be equity. Because you can check things out for yourself with vaccinations. I mean, the easiest thing to check out is to see if any vaccine has ever been tested to see if it causes cancer. The answer is no, and that includes the vaccinations for allegedly preventing cervical cancer from HPV, i.e., Gardasil and Cervarix vaccines. Neither of these vaccines have been tested to see if they cause cancer, and there's been many, many studies in regards to the fact that vaccines actually cause cervical cancer, and the of those documents is huge. You can find them on the initial watch, same facts as the enemy back, DDF, there's many different places that are documenting that they actually, in another important point of reference to find some of this information. So, Bill Gates talks about vaccine equity, in other words, saying that there has a right to be vaccinated. And if you don't choose to, accept we're going to put a gun to your head. How does work for people, and I can assure you, it's coming in here very soon. It is now that we're going to start to get the last two vaccines that rich kids take for granted, pneumococcal and rotavirus. And over the next 5 years, get them out to every child everywhere, said Dean. That means for the first time ever that we have equity in vaccines. So there you have it, folks. One of the world's richest men, in partnership with a multi-billion-dollar public-private partnership and several powerful world governments, is actively working toward a 100% vaccination rate among the world's children. Are you prepared to stand up to the equated medical mafia when it comes to your children? That is the question that the author of this article, Ethan Ankoff, that article is for naturalnews.com, and I encourage all of you to ask yourself that question. Okay, I want to get to another email that I received, which actually had the Reuters article within it. And I thought it was quite hilarious. The person who sent me this email wrote the following. Gates, whose real name is probably Gatenberg, I see that he's actually a Zionist, and definitely looks Kanaki, and probably has Baal-worshipping faith-keeping roots, is pushing the genocide program forward, and the program for the mandatory RFID chip, no doubt for the assassination. Only a chip in the form of a biometric ID would be able to verify that someone had been a recipient of the vaccine, which is true. So think about that, people. How are they going to know who's been vaccinated and who hasn't? The only way is if a person has been chipped. And, of course, they're not going to tell you you're being chipped. The chip is in the needle. And that's self-evident to me. So basically their plan is to insert a chip into every child on Earth, and chip has many different functions, not only to identify who's been vaccinated, because by having the chip, they will know they've been vaccinated, but also the chip can be used to actually alter your personality. It's the same kind of idea that they're using the all kinds of different frequency weapons. If you have this chip inserted into you, they can cause you to become docile or cause you to rise up and aggressive. You know, basically, you can be shot by the very, or causing a problem. So that's how it works. Okay, so this is what it says in the article by Reuters, which published, let's see, May 2nd, 2012, and you can access this article on Gavi Alliance, G-A-V-I Alliance.org. And it's entitled Gavi Man is Mission to Immunize Everything on Earth. Also available on Reuters, R-E-U-T-E-R-S.com. And just put it in that title, Gavi Man's Mission to Immunize Everything on Earth. Chief Executive of the Global Vaccine Immunization, the ADI, says, firstly, it is posing for a photograph with children in the village of Monfroe, April 27, 2012. Berkeley's interim goal with Gavi is to save 4 million lives by 2015. And the big mission is for the global health community to get vaccines against every preventable disease to every child who needs protecting. Now, like sidebar, all these diseases can be prevented with colloidal silver, first of all. Second of all, vaccines are not preventing anything. They're causing the biggest epidemic the world has ever known, which is vaccine-induced diseases, which includes all autoimmune disease, non-genetic diseases, cancer, and genetic damage in people and in pets. And in food source animals, and now nature as spraying nature with a great vaccine. Live rabies vaccine, which is actually live rabies, which they're trying to spread the rabies so that they'll have excuses. cute for you to be the first to next naked pet. Raggedy! Which is another fun. Raggedy. Okay. The Alliance set up in 2000 is private and government donor backing to negotiate down vaccine prices for the developing world and then bulk buy and deliver them to countries whose populations need them most. In the first decade, Gavin said it has already financed immunization that has prevented more than 5.5 million premature deaths from common but life-threatening diseases. Now, just to give you an idea of how to evaluate ridiculous statements like this, how can they claim that these immunizations have prevented 5.5 million deaths? How do they know who is going to die without getting the vaccine? Because the other, you know, side of the coin is that when the people drop dead after getting their vaccine, of course, it's just a coincidence. It wasn't the vaccine that did it. You know, in all cases that I've ever heard of over the last 15 years, if somebody drops dead after getting a vaccine, it wasn't the vaccine. It was just a coincidence that the vaccine happened before the death. And that includes children that die of sudden infant death syndrome, which is no question, a vaccine disease. There was actually a young person, I forget what state it was here in the States, that received a vaccination. I believe it was a meningococcal vaccination. He passed out, hit his head on the floor, ended up dead. And when he did the autopsy, they basically said the cause of his death was a head injury. You know, it had nothing to do with the vaccine. You can't okay. Let us continue with the article from Reuters. In its first decade, Gavi says it has already financed immunization that has prevented more than 5.5 million premature deaths from common but life-threatening disease. Okay, I already said that. Picture taken in April 27, 2012, which you can access on the Reuters website, credits Medicaid Keller. And this is what she says, given the history of this genocidal minion, Seth Berkley. He was a young epidemiologist working for the U.S. State Department when he saw the grave left behind after measles swept through refugee camps in Sudan during the 1985 famine. Now, why did people sweep through the refugee camps? I'm sure because they were getting vaccinations for measles to the refugees. Because measles vaccine is a live virus. So by definition, when they're checking into you, they're giving you measles. Now, saying the fact that, you know, to see little shallow graves lined up one after the other, baby. That's what happens when measles goes through the nutritionally deficient community. It's a horrible disease, and it spreads incredibly inefficiently. Now, I talked recently on the show, let's sidebar, to the situation that's going on in India, which has had a 12-fold increase in deadly paralysis from vaccines for polio. Not only that, but also, and let me just say that that's also the Natural.com article. The title, study, polio vaccine campaign in India has caused 12-fold increase in deadly paralysis condition. And obviously, people in India that are dying are basically in the same situation as these individuals that are in refugee camps, either nutritionally deficient. Some of these poor people are eating mud cake. They have no food. Actually, in India, I'll get to that in a minute, there's another situation going on with the biotech crops. You know, these people have no nutrition. So how can Seth Berkley claim that the virus, which is sweeping through the refugee camps, because the people are nutritionally deficient, how can he not see that these same nutritionally deficient people can't handle needles to containing multiple viruses, bioweapons, nicotine, vaccine. It is a total fraud. So he's obviously knowing what he's doing. Now he's chief executive of the Global Alliance for Vaccines and Immunization, the Gavi monster. And his specialism is vaccinology. And he is Africa again, working to introduce routine childhood immunizations, which protect most people in the rich world. And what he said, there's never been any proof that vaccines either are safe or effective. There's no way they can say to prevent any effect. If you read between the lines, and if you hear about different outbreaks, measles or whatever, throughout the world, you will find buried in the article that, in fact, almost all the people that, you know, came down with this infection were actually vaccinated. And that is why they got the disease, because they were inoculated with the virus. And the virus gave them the disease. It's not a protection to people. It's a way for them to kill you. Weapons of mass destruction. Okay. Let me just with an article from Reuters. Here in Ghana, there have been no deaths from measles since 2003, and no cases of polio, another vaccine-preventable disease, since 2008. So the earthquake sites aren't that high. And I will sidebar again and refer you to the article also on national.com titled, Seven Polio Vaccine Campaign in India, and it's got 12-fold increase in deadly paralysis conditions. Because the whole point of this article is that, in fact, when the people come down with the disease, after getting vaccinated, they change the name of the disease. This is how it works. It's actually for the cutest girl that can get enough letters from measles. They change the name to hide the fact that the measles vaccine is part of the autism. Problems with the polio virus, if it is presented in the face of the vaccination, they can call it aseptic meningitis, they can call it other names. Here in this article from nationalnews.com, they call it vaccine-associated polio paralysis. Basically, they just changed the name. And so that helps hide the fact that, in fact, it is a vaccine in this disease. So when they come to you that in Ghana there's been deaths from measles since 2003, okay, the polio, they're lying to their teeth because, in fact, they changed the name of the disease, and that helps prevent you from knowing that, in fact, diseases are even more dangerous, more deadly, and in fact are happening in chronic forms of all kinds of things because that they changed the name. So back to the Reuters article, this man set up Hercules, and his interim goal of Gavi is to save another 4 million lives by 2015. And his big mission is for the global health community to get a vaccine against every preventable disease to every child who needs protecting. No, we set up fluid silver generators, and let them make a little silver, and then they look at first protection from antibacterial or viral agent on the sun, and not have to have these ridiculous vaccinations, which are killing. And I love this when they actually talk about protecting people when they're actually killing them. This man is truly, you know, apprentice of Bill Gates, one of the biggest eugenicists on the planet. If you go to YouTube, there's actually a videotape of him at a TED, at a TED and David conference in 2010, where he's talking in front of the group about vaccines as a way to depopulate the planet. So he's edited this, and yet he goes in front of the press and states, you know, he's involved with this Gavi group because he wants to they children. Their lives have never been killed. Okay. This is what Seth Berkley building is what it is saying. I wish we had a state-of-the-art hospitals in every corner of the earth. But realistically, it's going to be a while before that can happen. But we can immunize every kid on earth, and we can prevent these diseases. It is only a matter of political will. A little bit of money and some systems to do it. Well, how about giving some food and help to bring them a septic system so they're not basically defecating and urinating into their water sources? That would be the best first step that I can think of. And it's all like I said, bringing them to the silver, but of course, it's going to be just a big investment, big pharma, and he's never going to let that happen. Let me continue with the article. Doggy set up in 2000. Uses private and government donor backing to negotiate down vaccine prices for the developing world, and then bulk buy and deliver them to countries whose population need, quote unquote, them. And it was the way they deliver them to the poor countries in Israel nation. And this is really disgusting. You know, slave work plants are signing up to those countries through their churches. They believe that they're going there to spread the gospel. I talk to so many of them who are supposed to get travel vaccines, and then they end up deathly ill themselves. Not to mention the fact that when they go there, one of the things that a very little missionary group does is vaccinate these people. So while pretending to be here to spread the word of God, their act there is to inoculate them with disease. And that's how the missionaries are being taught. Okay. Back to the article. And it's just that it says that it's already finding information that it has prevented more than 5.5 million premature deaths from common life-threatening disease. Once again, bumps. They mean they can't possibly pretend that they've prevented disease. After teetering on the brink of a funding crisis in late 2010, the group held a planning conference in London last June and enlisted the help of billionaire philanthropists, Bill Gates, and the British government to squeeze other donors hard. The result was $4.3 billion with a B, dollars in pledges, substantially more than the $3.7 billion got it asked for. Enough to keep the Alliance's programs in more than 70 of the world's poorest countries funded until 2016. And, of course, the actual reason for this is because as they kill off the populations of these poor countries, they will be stealing their natural resources. Berkeley says Gavi's success lies the sheer size of the market it has created, making it hard for pharmaceutical companies to ignore. The concept of Gavi was to create a market for the entire developing world. When we're in the entire market, Berkeley says, our birth cohort is 75 million children. That's a big market. Since 2000, Big Pharma has gradually seen the prices of its vaccines. And I'm shocked that they actually used that term, Big Pharma, in this article. That's funny. Yeah. That would sound. Anyways, Big Pharma has gradually seen the prices of its vaccines, many of which cost $70, $90, or even several hundred dollars in the West, forced down in the developing world under the pressure from Gavi's market. Isn't that special? You don't have to pay $200 to be killed with an assault by a biological weapon. You can get it at a discount. Last year, a raft of drug makers, including GlaxoSmithKline, Merck, Johnson & Johnson's Crucell, and Sanofi Adventist Pasteur, said that they cut their prices on vaccines against diseases such as measles, diarrhea, and meningitis to help guys stay in supply world versus countries. So the price Gavi pays for 10 covalent vaccines, that means 5, 12, 1 equal, which protect, allegedly, against the diphtheria, tetanus, pertussis, hepatitis B, and hemophilus, and influenza B, was also cut by the her. Here,
appreciate their information. We
which I monitor for disinfo, and I must say, I really don't find any disinfo in any articles from naturalnews.com. Okay, very important article published on May 1st. GMO alert, top 10 genetically modified foods to avoid eating. And this is a very important article, which I'm not going to have time to get into the whole thing. But before I go into the danger of GMOs, I wanted to mention another amazing thing I saw on YouTube. It's really amazing. Once you go on YouTube, you can end up there for hours because, of course, on the right-hand side, you know, you get all kinds of other interesting videos coming up, and you can just spend days watching stuff. But somehow, when I got into this GMO subject, I ended up getting into a couple of YouTubes where individuals were showing the results of taking cereal. And I'm not talking about organic cereal. I'm talking about, you know, your regular box cereal that you get in a store that you know has got all kinds of GMO and other garbage in it. But what they found, which I not expect, and was kind of surprised, but not, is that if you take a very strong magnet, what's called rare earth magnet, and you can check that out, you can search on that. If you put some cereal, like little round circles of cereal or different plates, whatever kind of cereal you may be feeding yourself or your children, or even dog food, they didn't do this, but I'm sure it's the thing with dog food that's pretty decent and basically garbage. If you put it in a plate of water and hold one of these magnets up to the plate or pellets or whatever the case may be, you will see how the chunk of alleged food actually, you know, swims down the plate under the control of the magnet. What does this tell you, people? There's all kinds of metals in there. They're feeding you metal, which has a little bit of grain or whatever the case may be around it, and they're calling it food. So that's a very important little test that you can do of your own food. But getting back to this article from Natural News, Dangerous 2012, GMO Alert, and genetically modified foods to avoid eating. This is the list of foods that they give. Number one is corn. Corn that has been modified to create its own insecticide. And as I mentioned on the show before, basically this is going to include a new type of corn they're coming out with that is going to make you more, which is the reason we're paying them billions of dollars later. But now they're going to allow that to be unleashed on the public here in the U.S. because of the criminals and the district of criminals get lots of money from Monsanto. So basically, they have everything to poison. Soy is also been genetically modified to resist herbicides. Cotton, which has also been designed to resist pesticides. Papaya, I was very sad to learn about this. A virus-resistant variety of papaya was commercially introduced in Hawaii in 1999. Transgenic papaya did not comprise 3/4 of the total Hawaiian papaya crop. Isn't that bad? Right. Of course, this is all genetically modified to contain iron and vitamin A, but of course, that's right, it contains human beings. So, creating chimeras, humanism, and as I spoke about when I said tomatoes have not been engineered for a longer shelf life, preventing them from easily rotting and degrading. Rapeseed, which is canola oil. Stay away from old people. It's very, very bad. But basically, they have genetically modified that as well. Okay. Dairy products, 22% of cows in the U.S. were injected with recombinant genetically modified bovine growth hormones, and of course, this actually is just by campaign, it's like putting fuel on a fire. But as I talked about on my show before, all cows, at least 90% of cows, probably have bovine leukemia. They're getting it from their vaccine. Mike Edwin genes that have been genetically modified have been found to cause immune responses in mice and impossible even in humans. A gene from kidney beans functions as pesticide. People, why are they making us form pesticide factories in our own guts? That's what you need. Sounds like population to me. Okay, and I'm going to be able to get to a very important article I have from SterileObserver.com, April 29th, 2012. Biotech advances aim to help India's poor. How are they helping poor? They're basically using technology, including smart cards, fingerprint scanners, and biometric identity to monitor their giving their GMO food to. Okay, well, on that very disturbing note, I would like to thank you for listening to the show. Please give other people the info about the archives at thelatitateradiofield.com. Thank you for listening, and please spread the word. Bye-bye.